SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us on a Thursday night on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. Very busy night, of course, championship week. Wall-to-wall college hoops we have going for us. Several games going right now that we're going to be focusing on here. We have a few NBA games tonight. We got a ton of hockey. There's 12 hockey games tonight. So we got to get involved on the ice a little bit. We have a lot more NFL free agency news. And the first round of the players, I guess, not completely in the books. There's a couple of groups that didn't finish before it got too dark. But the main players were all in the clubhouse, and quite a day it was down there at TPC Sawgrass. In fact, we're going to have our man Keith Stewart from Read the Line, who joins me on Coast to Coast on Wednesdays. He's going to be with us tonight to kind of break down the first round, find some angles here, maybe some live angles to jump on. Hope everybody got that hole-in-one today. I know that was a big hit for us. The hole-in-one. Ryan Crazy Like a Fox taking care of business for us. So, Mike Carver with you. Solo mission. No Joe tonight. Out on assignment. So, you get me solo. Matthias Berbel, of course, in the mix as well. He's got a lot of hockey games cooking. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Costa. Oh, geez. How about that? There's a dollar in the jar, Matthias. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you aboard, Mike Carver and Sans Lisi. Carver Sans Lisi. Joe on assignment. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Very big first hour. We'll get into the golf a little. Keith Stewart will join me from Read the Line. We've got all these college basketball games going and even NBA and a huge night in hockey as well. So here's where we're at with the hoops. Night session in all of these conference tournament sites, including they're down the stretch here. Actually, I haven't started technically the night session out in Vegas for the Mountain West, where San Diego State has a 6-point lead on UNLV with about 4.5 minutes to go. UNLV got out to a fast start here. San Diego State clawed back, took a lead, actually had a double-digit lead not too long ago. It's down to 6, so that's one to keep our eyes on with 4 minutes to go. Make it a 3-point lead as UNLV bangs a 3. So 60-57 with 4 minutes to go in the second half. So we've got ourselves a good finish at the Thomas and Mack out in Vegas. Also live, Ohio State up 7 on Iowa, 67-60. There's still 10 minutes to go there, and that game is flying over that number. Live number is 172.5 right now. So POINTS, 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 working for us in Minneapolis, which is where they're having the Big Ten tournament this year. So used to being either Chicago or Indy that this year they threw the curveball and are having it up at the Target Center. Elsewhere, Iowa State up 34-27 on Kansas State. That game is at the half. NC State leads Duke at the half by 3, 35-32. So NC State playing their third game in 3 days, and personally, you know, not super impressive. They struggled with Louisville a couple days ago. I felt Syracuse really didn't show up in that game, but hey, now they're up at the half on Duke. So sometimes the team that me and Coach were talking about this, I guess it was maybe yesterday on C2C, where sometimes the team that gets to play a couple days, even though they're not that great, gets their feet under them. You know, they make it into these teams that have double byes in these conference tournaments, and you can kind of catch them a little sleepy, especially in the first half, and that's what NC State is doing to Duke here. Down in D.C., 35-32 at the half. Still, Duke's minus 4.5 now in that. Halftime at the SEC night session, first game with Ole Miss and Texas A&M. The Aggies are up 35-31. On the Rebs, live minus 6.5 for Texas A&M. Big East, Providence leading Creighton at the half. So 33-30, the Friars, who beat Georgetown last night. And, man, they could use as many wins as possible. Most of these Big East teams can, and it was a huge one for St. John's this afternoon as well. Man, that would be huge for Providence if they were able to beat Creighton tonight and get themselves into the Friday night semis at the Garden. The third game of the day, or final game of the day, I should say, at the A-10 is, we're waiting for that one to tip. That's because the third game went to double overtime, which was the Loyola-St. Bonnie's game. And Bonnie's knocked them off 75-74 in two overtimes. Man, that must suck if you had the under in that game. Oh, man, they went to overtime 58-58. And then they went to 75-74, and the game ended up flying over then. That's unfortunate. It's also unfortunate that all the top seeds in the A-10 have just been falling by the wayside today. So you had, early this morning, Richmond lose. They were the one seed. You had UMass lose. They were the four seed to VCU. Now you have the two seed Loyola lose. And Dayton, who's the best team in the conference anyway, but was the three seed, they will tip with Duquesne. They got listed here 8:27 p.m. East. So in about 20 minutes, that one will start. We also have several games that are going to tip later tonight that we'll get into. Florida, Georgia, two great games in the Mountain West, Colorado State and Nevada, and Boise late night with New Mexico. Cincinnati, who's won the last 2 days, playing Baylor. You have Villanova, who needs every win they can get. Well, their win last night was almost like a loss. When you're laying 24.5 and you need a last second three to win the game, that's really not going to help your resume out too much. And Penn State and Indiana, also kind of like the Hoosiers in that one. NBA tonight, the Suns are in Boston against the Celtics. Celtics are up 45-42. That's about almost midway through the second quarter there. Everything else yet to start. There's a few that start momentarily. Washington's in Houston against the Rockets. The Sixers are in Milwaukee against the Bucks. Clippers are in Chicago against the Bulls. Would we get a final say on who's... I know we were waiting on Coast to Coast today to see who would be in and out in that game. Harden is out for the Clippers. So Kawhi is playing. Is that true? And then Kobe White is out. Joe's guy is out for the Bulls. He got hurt last night in their overtime win. So there you go. Our Clippers are missing somebody, just not who we thought they would be missing. Dallas won't have Luka tonight in OKC. They are getting 10 points, so Kyrie's going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting. And the Knicks start a West Coast trip in Portland against the Blazers, laying 11.5. And the Knicks actually have a little string that's three games in a row they've allowed less than 80 points. Believe it or not, they actually lost one of those games. But they do have three games in a row allowing less than 80 points. We're just getting going here on a Thursday night. Wall-to-wall college hoops. We got round one of the players in the books. A lot happening. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have you aboard here. So there's a few things going on. That's for sure. I was looking in at the hockey, Matthias, and Stars scored 15 seconds into the game against the Devils. Wow, so 1-0. They jump right out of the board. Leafs lead the Flyers 2-0. Rangers lead the Lightning 2-0. Bruins and Habs tied at 1 in the second. Coyotes and Wings tied at 1 in the second. Sharks and Penguins tied at deuces in the second. Columbus leads Ottawa 1-0. Sabres lead the Islanders 1-0. Carolina leads Florida 1-0. So that's where we're at on an absolutely stacked night on the ice. I mean, just loads of games. And they're all early, too, Matias. I usually like when there's like three or four, you know, late night face-offs, and you only have two tonight that are 9 East or later. So I prefer that you spread it out a little.
I built a nice three-teamer right before the show started. Dallas Stars, Minnesota Wild, and the Seattle Kraken, plus 240 overall. So you telling me that the Stars scored right away is a good thing. But let's not get it twisted, Carver. The Stars scored right away against the Panthers, too, led that game 3-0, and then they blow it 4-3.
Yeah, the dreaded three-goal lead in the NHL. It will get you. And it gets teams plenty of times, that's for sure. But they do score right out of the gates. I like that play for you tonight. I like Seattle a lot tonight, especially after Washington playing a back-to-back, getting their doors blown off at Edmonton last night. The Ducks suck. I mean, let's just call it like it is. Minnesota is trying to make that push for that last spot. I don't think that they can get there, but they're trying. So with a bad team in your building, you should be able to take care of business, and we'll see if they're
as bad as the Ducks have been this year. They have been the most unpredictable team around the NHL. They win when they're not supposed to win against the best teams. Then they lose at home against the worst teams and get smoked. Then they'll be down 5-0 to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then they'll go home. You know, then they'll go to New Jersey and beat the Devils on the road the next night. It's just a very weird Anaheim Ducks team. But this Ducks team, I got to admit, they're a young, hungry team that always comes out of the gate looking to make something happen, which I appreciate that as a Ducks fan. You know what I mean? They're definitely not the San Jose Sharks, where they're just lifeless most of the time. This Ducks team is an interesting one this year. I just can't wait for this franchise to get it back together, you know, to the good days of Jean-Sebastien Jaguar, the Ruslan Salais, you know what I mean, the Paul Kariyas, the Teemu Selannis, all those Stanley Cup winning type of players. Let's go.
Well, a couple of those guys, you know, obviously Teemu, but Korea did not. I was thinking you would go more towards the Getzlaf Perry.
There we go. No, exactly. The Getzlaf Perry days. Oh, man. When they beat the Senators. Hey, I got to admit, man, when they lost to the Devils in 7 games with Paul Kariya and Teemu Selanne, that was one of the funnest NHL years of my life. And I was a young kid, but I know that a lot of people here in Southern California became Ducks fans because of that great run that they had, where they beat the Detroit Red Wings in the first round. Nobody could expect it. Those were the glorious Duck days, baby.
And Selanne, of course, then was on the team that finally did win. He was at the end of his career. But Selanne was on that team with Getzlaf and Perry when they beat. That was a hell of a final. And I'm being sarcastic here. Ottawa and Anaheim
against the Senators. Yeah,
That was not a ratings bonanza for NBC. That one was not on their bingo card of finals that they would have dreamt up at the beginning of the season. Go back to this UNLV San Diego State game. UNLV just hit a shot to tie it in the final second, so 65-65, they're going to play 5 extra minutes at the Thomas and Mack. So, like I said, this game has been major swings. UNLV out hot. San Diego State rallied. They got up double digits. UNLV claws back in the final 10 minutes of this second half. They get this game tied at 65, and they will now go to the extra session where San Diego State's minus 1.5, Moneyline minus 138, UNLV plus 106 here. 153.5 total, and that's with 130 on the board. It's probably an under. Live under, if you think about it.
These Sabres are really pouring it on your Islanders right now. 3-0. 3-0 second period. They just scored again, so 3-0. Buffalo is just tearing it up right now, picking up the trash.
You know, they're playing well, and I think that if they win tonight, that gets them, and if the Islanders would lose because they're playing them, and if the Red Wings lost, I think they'd be within 3 points of the final playoff spot. I believe, if I remember correctly. I don't have the standings in front of me, but I was doing this earlier. I was on in Buffalo this morning and with some of my guys there, Sal Capaccio, and I believe we were saying it was 5 points going into tonight. So that would be a massive win for them, that's for sure. So overtime in Vegas, UNLV and San Diego State. Ohio State is taking care of business against Iowa in the Big Ten. They are up 9. And with about 4 minutes left to go in that game, Ohio beating up on Western Michigan, that's in the MAC. Iowa State up 7 at the half on Kansas State. So if Joe was here tonight, My guess is he would probably do what he did last night with Kansas State. They were down 10 at the half to Texas, and he grabbed them. But Iowa State's a lot better than Texas. But this is 9.5, down 9. Do we go for the Joe play with the Wildcats plus 9.5 here in Kansas City? I might actually do that. Duke's having all kinds of problems as well. I've been watching them, and it is not going well. They just hit a 3 to get it back to 7, but NC State had extended this to 10. They're about 13.5 to go in the second half. So Duke has some work to do. Creighton has some work to do in the Big East as well. They are now down 7 to Providence as they are a few minutes into the second half. So we have a few higher-seeded teams making some noise, you could say. Providence, NC State, Kansas State, who actually they just started the second half, and Kansas State banged a 3 to start the second half. So that's a 4-point game now with Iowa State. The madness is here, baby. That's for sure. I'm involved in this Ole Miss Texas A&M game as well, which is 40-38. I'm on Ole Miss here in this one with the points. So I think.
Are you taking the 6 points for the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors against Northridge tonight? Big game for them, Warriors. Let's go.
I was gonna ask you. You know. I kind of like Hawaii tonight. I think Hawaii's gonna win the game. Obviously, we care about the 6.5. Can they cover that? What'd they do against Northridge this year?
They lost at Northridge, a tight game, but then they beat them at Hawaii.
So they,
but you know, Hawaii has a good record against Northridge overall. Doesn't matter where they play them. It's not like it's going to be a packed gym for Northridge here in Henderson, Nevada. And Hawaii travels well. There's a lot of Hawaiians that live in Nevada.
They just beat them a week ago, and they squeaked by them at home. I mean, I think I would probably have to, if I was playing with the points, I'd probably have to take Northridge. But I think Hawaii is going to win the game. I would want the points here, though. These teams are fairly even in the Big West this year. I mean, almost identical overall records, almost the same conference record. They split during the regular season.
Are you writing in UC Irvine to win the Big West tournament?
Yes. I have them in a win the conference parlay because I wasn't going to pay minus 195. Or the Anteaters are going to win that. I said the other night, I need the Anteaters and the Antelopes, Grand Canyon. I need both of them in the tournament because they are juicy teams that I want on those 12, 13, and 14 lines to cause some upsets. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM 159 here with you on a Thursday night. On the grid, 844-843-6879 is the number. A lot going on, as always. Next segment, Keith Stewart from Read the Line, who is with me Wednesdays on Golf Wednesdays on C2C. Of course, he's at the Players down there in Ponte Verde, Florida, the TPC Sawgrass. He was there all day today, round number one. An excellent leaderboard that we have so far. Now, there's a couple groups that still have to finish. For all semantics, the round one's over. There are two or three groups that didn't done, and they'll finish up in the morning when they go out. But you have a heavy hitter leaderboard here for us. Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, Wyndham Clark, all tied at 7 under, lighting the place up today. Nick Taylor, who we gave you, is one back at 6 under. Matthew Fitzpatrick, who, of course, I bet for like 6 weeks in a row, and now this week I finally give up on him, and he was like 80-1, and now he's going to be in the mix at 6 under. Tom Hoagie, who we have at 5 under. Scottie Scheffler, of course, is hanging around at 5 under. Aubert is in there. Jason Day is in there. They're hoping for this, and golf needs it too. With all the stuff that's been going on with them, they could use a Sunday with the Players Championship. Now, I know what you're saying to me. Yeah, it's a selection Sunday. I mean, that's blah, 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 blah. Trust me, they don't put the brackets out till like 6:15. The tournament, they got to finish the tournament by then. But if you're going to have Xander, Rory, Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, who's been he's a rising star. They featured him on one of those Full Swing episodes on Netflix. You know, that's the kind of leaderboard they need. And tight. No blowouts. Nobody up five shots on the 13th. They want a tight one with all these guys involved, especially Rory and Scheffler, if they could ever get that, and Xander Schauffele. That would be a very big Sunday for the PGA, the players, NBC, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll do all that with Keith coming back. They are under a minute to go in the overtime in Vegas. UNLV up one on San Diego State. So 71-70. This has been a hell of a game right now. And minus 1.5 for UNLV. Under a minute, 46 seconds left in that game. Duke has made a little bit of a run here. They were down as much as 10 against NC State here in the second half, and they are starting to get things going. They're starting to make some shots. Another layup here, and they are now down 2. 50-48. NC State leads Duke with 11:40 to go in this game. Elsewhere, Ohio State's about to wrap things up with Iowa. That game is going to, I believe, sail over that total, 140, 158. Yeah, they blasted through it, I'm pretty sure. I gotta have to check the sheet, see exactly what I got it at. 42-39, Iowa State leads Kansas State. So Kansas State has made a little bit of a push here. And we have Ole Miss down 3 against Texas A&M. Providence still up 9 on Creighton. So we have some tight ones. We have some upset potential as well. And Liberty's going to go down to UTEP, so that's in Conference USA, and I think Liberty was the, I'm going to say, were they the, either the one or the two seed? They were pretty good this year in that conference. What was Liberty this year? Let me get this up real fast. It's hard to find Conference USA anymore in here. These are the quarters, so Liberty, they were the two seed. They finished 12-4 in the league this year against this UTEP team, which wasn't very good. 7-9 in the league, 16-15 overall. But it looks like they're going to get through. They're up 5 with 6 seconds to go. We've seen stranger things, I know, but you would like to think they're going to get themselves out of here and move on. 23 seconds now for UNLV. Still up 1. In this game with San Diego State, is UNLV just missed a shot. And I think San Diego State's going to have the ball here. So San Diego State's going to have the rock down 1 with 17 seconds left. And we will keep you updated with that. On NBA side of things, Celtics at the half are up 5 on the Suns, 65-60. Celtics minus 5.5, which is pretty much around where they were before the game. 235.5 is the total. Bucks are up 3 against the Sixers. That just started late in the first quarter. Rockets are up almost same score on the Wizards, 25-21. Clippers have opened up a 10-point lead on the Bulls in Chicago. Bulls coming off a overtime win last night. Don't have Cody White. I could see the Clippers, who don't have Harden tonight, but I could still see that being a bit of a problem for them. That's for sure. Dallas and OKC is late night, 10 o'clock East tip, and the Knicks and the Blazers in Portland, which has now moved to 12 there. And I've seen a popular pick, Portland team total under 96.5, as the Knicks have allowed less than 80 three straight games. And Portland, as we've documented many times on this show, they stink. Just aren't that good. Duke had gotten this to 2. And now NC State is pushing back here, as they just had a huge slam to put themselves back up 5. So NC State, they ain't a scared of Duke. And they are going to go blow for blow with them here in D.C. at the ACC tournament. Some fun games right now. Some really fun games. San Diego State, by the way, gets a bucket and the lead here. 72-71. Over UNLV, and I got that as a final now. I have that as a final, so it looks like San Diego State's going to win but not cover, but they'll move on here. That's a tough loss for UNLV. Very tough loss.
As,
yeah, he made the jumper. Ladie made the jumper for San Diego State. And it looks like they're going to run out of time unless they... Yeah, they missed the kid had a chance. He missed a shot at the end. And San Diego State got it back. So there you go. San Diego State's going to get to move on. They did foul him, so he's going to go to the line there. And that was... It was 4.5 in most spots. So even if he gets the 2 here, it's only going to be a 3-point game. You know, could they... 4 seconds. Yeah, this isn't really... They'd have to throw a heave and hope somebody catches it. It's, they could get a 3 off to attempt one to try. So things are not quite done at the Thomas and Mack right now. We'll see how that one finishes up. The hockey, Matthias has been watching, and he told me that the Sabres hit the Islanders with a flurry of goals to now lead 3-0 late in the second. Carolina looks like they did the same to Florida. They now lead 3-0 over them. Penguins now have a 3-2 lead on the Sharks. Arizona has a 2-1 lead on Detroit, who they need wins in the worst way. The Lightning have gotten into the Ranger lead. That's now 2-1. And the Stars, who scored 15 seconds in, allowed a goal to the Devils, have now retaken the lead. So a high-scoring first period. I mean, that total couldn't have been... What was that total in the Dallas Devil game tonight, Matthias? Was that a 6.5? Probably was, actually.
I don't know what the total was. It probably was 6.5, though. It seems too low to be 5.5 against the Devils.
Yeah, with Devils being involved, it wouldn't be 5.5. Maybe a flat 6 in some spots, but, man, what is Duke doing here? You know, you fight all the way back. You get the game to 2 points. You've been down the entire night, and then you just, boom, you let them extend back to 7. What are they doing? Now a turnover by this kid. I mean, you gotta buckle down here. But Duke's one of those teams like that you worry. You know, there's a pocket of teams this week in championship week that, you know, they really can't improve themselves too much. Like, a loss isn't going to hurt them. They're probably going to be on the same seed line anyway. A win, winning the ACC tournament would maybe move them up a seed. But you worry about teams like this in here. And here comes Duke. They'll go to the line, 8:19 to go in that one. So 74-71, these kids made both the free throws on San Diego State. Got a timeout now. And UNLV will try the heave and see if anybody, they need like a Blatner play to try to tie this game. Need to get it down court and somebody to shoot one and make a prayer. That's pretty much where they're at this point. Hell of a game. Elsewhere, there goes our UNLV to win the Mountain West tournament ticket, too. That one gets up in smoke for us. What can you do? So did the Richmond one. We had Richmond at 6-1 to win the A-10. That one up in smoke as well. Iowa's been doing a lot of fouling, but Ohio State's not budging. They're now up 90-78. The kid, Thomas, did get a 3 off, but no good. UNLV finished 74-71. Now that's officially a final in that one. Texas A&M has extended to a 5-point lead over Ole Miss, 46-41. Iowa State has pushed it back out to 8 over Kansas State at the Big 12. And Providence still up 9 on Creighton. About 12 minutes to go there. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, 844-843-6879. We'll come back. Players, round one. Keith Stewart, read the line. We'll talk to him next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 159, here with you on a Thursday night. Carver sans Lisi. Joe's out on assignment. He'll be back tomorrow, of course. Round one of the Players' Championship down at TPC Sawgrass, for the most part in the books. We do have a couple of groups, a couple stragglers that couldn't beat the light, and I'm going to have to finish up their last hole or two in the morning when they're scheduled to go out. But for the most part, all the main players are in the clubhouse, and it is time to discuss what we're looking for into round number two. And why not talk to our man Keith Stewart, who of course joins me Wednesdays on Golf Wednesdays on Coast to Coast from Read the Line, as he is down there in Ponte Vedra, Florida, TPC Sawgrass, and was out there today. Keith, good to talk to you as always, my man. How are you?
Carver, I'm doing well, and you know, the odds this morning were minus 10,000. They would never finish before darkness, because that's how slow they are.
Well, you're right, and this is every week, by the way. It does happen every week. Usually Thursday and Friday, especially Thursday, it's tough to get them in, even when the clocks change. You know, even on the West Coast, they have a problem. But I knew they'd really have a problem today, Keith, when I watched that 9-minute video of Rory, Jordan, and Victor Hovland discussing Rory's drop there after he put that second ball in the water. I knew that was going to back things up for the rest of the day, too.
Well, I tell you what, Carver, I'm leaving the media center now, and I'm heading out to dinner, and I guarantee you that, much like not finishing on time today, I will not see Rory, Victor, and Jordan out to dinner together, wherever I end up. It's not happening. Contentious as it looked like in that video, it was bad in the media center. When they came in and did the interviews, Jordan didn't want to talk about it, Victor didn't want to talk about it, and all Rory wanted to do was talk about it. He had to vent and kind of allow himself to be like reconsider the whole thing and make sure that he felt like he did the right thing, because those other two guys don't think that he did.
I think what really happened here, and we're going to get to who what a great leaderboard we have going into round two and who we can look for to bet. But I'll say this about it, Keith. It seemed to me like Victor and Jordan kind of felt like Rory maybe was a little off on it the first time he went in the water, and they didn't say anything. And that's what kind of heightened the situation on the second one, because they were probably a little hot about the first but let it go, and they weren't letting the second one go, even though the second drop was probably better than the first drop.
I think you're 100% right, but that's just part of it. If you remember back at Pebble Beach, and I was out there covering it, when Jordan announced and they announced the big SSG deal with the PGA Tour, Jordan was asked in the press room, "Hey, so do we need the PIF?" And remember what Jordan said? He said, "Well, you know, I think we're pretty good for right now. Let's wait and see how it goes." And what is Rory's opinion of all that? Well, Rory still thinks that we need more money from probably the PIF. So I think there's a little bit of politics going on there. And then when you compound it, that on the first drop, really didn't look like it was in the right spot. And I've been in those situations before when you're playing in tournaments, and you're not trying to be a jerk, but you have to protect the field. Jordan and Victor have to protect the other what's left there, 141, 140, because Tom went through. But like, there's another 140 guys you got to protect. And I've been on both sides of those things. The player wants to get the best drop they can, but the other guys are protecting the field, and it can get contentious really quick. Remember a couple of years ago, Daniel Berger and that scene on 16? I mean,
yes.
Someone have to be a cop and do the right thing for the field, and definitely those guys, like I said, those guys jokingly are not having dinner together tonight.
Yeah, and that was Victor as well with Daniel Berger that year. Victor was involved in that too, so good for Victor. Yeah. He gets involved. He makes sure that everything goes right. All right, I was saying before, Keith, this is, if you can get this on Sunday, the PGA and NBC and everybody involved with golf, they will be head over heels if they have Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, Wyndham Clark, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Scottie Scheffler, Auber, Jason Day. I mean, that is, they're dreaming of that with the kind of finishes and leaderboards that they've had over the first 2.5 months this year.
There's no doubt about that. And I tell you, what it's also going to do for us is it's going to help pricing. It's going to keep Scotty from going to like a negative number on Friday afternoon. You know, it's going to make this thing very bettable. And you and I talked about that last night, how Scotty with the big win, you know, gave people some amplified numbers, and now they're playing well. I mean, is Wyndham Clark, Carver, is Wyndham Clark the most mispriced golfer in big events?
Yes.
This guy was 55-1. I mean, we are going to rake on this guy this weekend. I just feel it coming.
I'll let you know. I went in for more tonight after the round was over because they're still giving you 11-1 on him, and he's tied for the lead. And look, the proof is in the pudding now. Like, this isn't the first time for Wyndham Clark. Like, I'll admit, I wasn't a believer at the U.S. Open. You know, I kept hammering Rory. I was like, Rory's going to get this guy. It's going to happen. He's going to catch him. He's going to beat him. But he has now shown, not once, not twice, but multiple, 3-4 times, that he can play with these guys. And you know what else he's got? Like, he hit that fun shot from under the tree today. And I know he kind of rubs some people the wrong way as well with some comments that he's had recently. But I think he's the kind of guy the tour needs also, because he feels almost like some of the guys they've lost to live. You know, not guys that people hate, but you can kind of root against a little bit. And I feel like Wyndham has that, and I think the tour needs that. I hope he's with these guys all the way to Sunday, especially since we're getting tickets on him.
I'm telling you, he's the new Brooks. He's the new Brooks. He is the guy
that's perfect.
Showing up for the big events, and he's saying things that rub people the wrong way. He's saying what he thinks. He's very mentally strong. You know, you saw it in full swing that he has that mental coach, and she's got that guy believing in his skill level, and it's off the charts. And it, you know, maybe he doesn't get up for the, you know, for Hilton Head or something like that. But you put $20 million on the line or a major, and this guy's ready to roll, and you got to love it. And, you know, you talk about mispricing. There's a head-to-head on DraftKings where he's playing JT tomorrow. You can get plus money. It's plus 120. That's one of my live ads for tomorrow. I'm like, are you kidding me? You see JT today? JT was, he was just like that one under he shot was the best number he was going to shoot. And Wyndham could have been better than seven.
He could have. You're absolutely right. That's a good ad right there for you, everybody. Clark over JT, head-to-head for round number two on DK. We do have a couple guys. And one more on the – you talk about pricing and whatnot. You know, Aubert is very good, and I know that he hasn't had a lot of spots yet with all these big names on a big spotlight. I mean, he played in the Ryder Cup, so really he has. I know he maybe wasn't as big a part of that as, say, John Rahm was, but still, he's 18-1, and he's two shots back, and he's a guy who's going to make some noise over the weekend too, I think, Keith.
Yeah, and, you know, the way he did it today, the way that, you know, Ludwig went out there is that he, much like Rory, is just a world-class driver of the golf ball, and he dominated with the big stick. And then, you know, he rolled in a couple of putts, but, you know, he's sharp at what he needs to be sharp at in order to be competitive deep into Sunday. And it's interesting to me. It's when you look at the, you know, who was gaining and who was playing well today, it's you were right from the top. This is a really good leaderboard, and the tour needs it, and it couldn't come at a better time.
And the two guys that I have a couple guys with some big numbers that I caught on Sunday night that are very much alive here. I mean, I had a 220-1 with Nick Taylor, which I couldn't, like, the number just, I didn't get to talk to you about this on Coast to Coast yesterday. Nick Taylor's another guy who has played just great golf for 2.5 months. Winning at Phoenix, he's been involved in all these other top 20s at some big events. To get him at 220-1, and now here he is, one shot back, going into Friday. And the other guy I have a good ticket on is a guy that me and you have talked about several times already in this year, in the last 2.5 months, and that's Tom Hoagie, who's two shots back, and I actually thought that he could have been around that seven number with these other guys if he just had another putt go an inch or two left or right.
Yeah, Tom Hoagie was doing, like Aubert with the driver, Tom Hoagie, his iron game was on point today. There's no doubt about that. I'm not sure that his putter can go nuclear like we know Wyndham's can and some of these other guys can, but Hoagie will be there consistently throughout the weekend the way he's hitting his irons. He gained over 3 strokes on the field today with his iron game, and only 3 guys did that. Wyndham, he, and Rory. So, I mean, those guys are solid. The Nick Taylor thing is interesting because some of these guys are starting to believe in themselves. Like, we didn't have faith in Wyndham Clark. And all of a sudden, like, we should have faith in Nick Taylor. You know, we've had some bombs win this year, and it's It's exciting down here. Like, people are stopping to talk about the nonsense because we have, like, a really good golf course. We don't have weather issues. The place got crispy. I mean, Wyndham Clark, the way he played this afternoon, those other guys played in the morning. It was perfect scoring conditions, Carver. You can see it. Like, Rory was throwing darts. And this afternoon, it got a little crispy. And what Wyndham did and what some of those guys did in the afternoon, like Fitzpatrick, I mean, like, that was some good, solid golf. Loved it.
Yeah, I think the afternoon guys that got to 6 and 7 under was super impressive because of those conditions. What are you thinking, what are you looking at seeing for the conditions tomorrow? Are they going to make this a little tougher on the morning guys after the morning guys today kind of chewed the place up?
Well, there's not much they can do as far as, I mean, they set it up tough today. These guys are just that good, and the golf course isn't that long overall. The par fives are very, very scoreable. I knew we were going to be talking tonight, so I talked to the head of weather there at the PGA Tour. They expect tomorrow morning and even into the afternoon to have less wind, higher temperature, and just to be an absolute perfect day again. I mean, this thing is going to be incredible theater, Carver. We are setting ourselves up here. For some really, really some fun and some fireworks over the weekend. And talk about fireworks. You and I were having a ball talking about Siwoo yesterday in the afternoon.
Yep.
Did you see his nines today? Siwoo goes out in 39 on the back nine, and he comes in 31, and it was the putter. He was a top three putter today. Of all things, Siwoo,
yep.
I mean, and there's another one, DK. So here's the thing you got to love about the fact when they don't finish, Carver. DK has to post something to get people to bet.
Right.
They have a head-to-head with he and Sam Burns, and they're giving you positive money on Siwoo and Sam Burns.
Yeah.
It is not right now. Just like Jordan's not right, like Victor's not right. You're getting positive money with Siwoo at a place where he won, plus 100, over Sam Burns head-to-head. That's my second live ad at Read the Line going into Friday.
And it's funny because I watched him on 17 when that was his front. He started on the 10th tee, and he hit it in the water, and his head was all over the place. And then for him to come back and shoot the 31 on the backside was outstanding. Keith, tremendous job as always. We're going to do this again tomorrow night heading into the weekend. Keith Stewart, Read the Line at KJ Stewart PGA on Twitter. Follow him for the Read the Line ads. We're back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM. Channel 159 here with you on a Thursday night. Great stuff from Keith there. So you heard a couple of his ads with Siwoo. And with Wyndham Clark for you. So he's right. They put those, sometimes they put those numbers up for the matchups before the round is over. And Burns did play bad today. So that might be a good one to go to if you want to go to Siwoo there for round number two. All right. Duke is in major trouble here. Major trouble. They are down 7 with under a minute to go. They're not going to win this game. They're finished. And Mattia's right, the big fell on NC State. I mean, he was pushing guys around down there. I mean, just really pushing guys around. Big effort from him all the way there. And we love this big kid on NC State. I'm stunned they're going to win this game. I didn't think they looked great the last 2 days, but now they've caught a little fire. They've caught a little roll. Huge. 54.4 to go. What's his name? Burns, right? Is that his name? Matias, there he is. Burns, number 30. Burns Jr. He's a good player.
That they designed the play for him. You know, they're up 5, big basket that has to be made, and they dropped the play for him against Flipkowski. Just wow.
And Creighton has come back. They're down 2 against Providence. With 3.5 to go. So -1.5 for Creighton now. They're back to favorite. So Providence completely melted here in the last 10 minutes. All right, we got another hour to go. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We're back on the grid right after this.